Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm excited about having our good buddy Mike Menzies back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Menzies is the president and the CEO of Easton Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland, over on the eastern shore of Maryland. And everything's east over there with Mike, and he's our good friend. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know, and he is the resident banker and the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Mike, welcome back to the show.
James, thank you. It's always a delight to be with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. When do the crabs start running?
Well, the crabs will start crawling out of the mud in the next 30 days or so, and they'll start growing, and we'll be picking them up by I'm going to say mid to late April.
Okay.
And they'll be big and fat in June and July. And in August, they'll be fantastic. You'll get number one Jimmies, which are the great big heavy male crabs.
And which are the only ones that the Marylanders eat?
That's right.
You don't eat the sooks, but the girls.
No, we don't eat the sooks. We're not like those Virginians.
But the Virginians will eat both.
Yep, Virginians will eat anything.
But, I love this. And so now I'm going to be in Washington the end of April.
Great.
But I won't be able to get any fresh crabs by then.
They're not going to be from basically from the Bay. They'll probably be down from Louisiana and Florida, and you know they just don't have the same taste.
It's not the same, is it?
No, of course.
So I got to come there. I got to come there in August, July and August, to get the really good ones.
Yeah, late May through August, September, depending on how quickly it gets cold, you can get.
I think I'm going to be back in June, so maybe I can score some while I'm up there.
When are they
soft shell? When is that phase?
Well, they're soft shell as soon as they start coming out of the mud. They molt. Every moon they molt.
Right. Uh-huh.
And they increase about 30, 40 to 50% in size when their shell comes off. And they've got about 2 or 3 hours before the rockfish or the other fish eat them in the grass. And if they make it for 2 or 3 hours, then their shells get hard and they've got another 30 days to go.
Kind of like small business owners. Every day we
That's
wake
exactly
up.
That's exactly right.
Every day. See, folks, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. Every morning we wake up and we've got to, you know, if we make through one more payroll, one more round of bank payments, we've got new life for just a little bit longer, right?
That's exactly right. You just hope your banker isn't a rockfish.
That's exactly right. Or your competitor. Hey, Mike, help us out with one thing that's kind of in the news lately, and that's this subprime lending scare, or it's not just a scare, it's a reality. Tell the audience. Tell the audience what the subprime lending industry is.
Well, in capsule form, Jim, the past 6 years have produced more mortgage volume in the nation than the entire decade of the 90s. And some of that is because Father Greenspan reduced interest rates to stimulate the economy after 9/11.
Right.
Some of it is because the mortgage lending industry got pretty creative with mortgage products, like a product called a nanny loan, no asset, no income. All you need is a credit score and a name and address.
And you can get a loan.
Yeah, and interest-only loans and payment option loans, lots of fairly exotic products that were originally kind of designed to provide some flexibility and to let people into houses.
Some loans were even where you could borrow more than 100. Not only could you,
right?
You know, with the old way where you had to have a 20% down payment, and then there was the way where you could get a little insurance and borrow 95%. I saw something where you could borrow 110% of the value.
Yeah, there have been products up to 125% of the cost of the home. And that's produced an environment today where there are a significant number of borrowers who are overextended. And then the question comes down to how overextended and how many and how does that influence the real estate food chain?
Well, now, how they got overextended was because as interest rates rose, their payments rose, and even though they still have a job, even though we have, you know, pretty low unemployment and the economy's doing all right, their cash flow is their job situation hasn't increased enough so they can handle the new cash requirements for the new payment.
That's a very significant component of the issue. The other significant component is that real estate had been going up in, quote, appraised value.
Right.
And these borrowers were able to borrow again and again based on higher appraised values.
And keep refinancing and all that.
And keep refinancing.
Mm-hmm. And they built a house of cards. We're going to take a quick break, Mike. When we come back, folks, I'm going to get Mike to wrap this up by telling us what he thinks this is going to do to the economy, this whole industry situation with its subprime lenders. And then we're going to move on to talk about your and my relationship with our banker. Stay with us.
Won't you come away with me? Oh, we are flying high.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out my blog while you're there. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's our good friend and the president of Eastern Bank and Trust over in Eastern Maryland, the president and the CEO of that fine independent community bank. And Mike, as you know, and as I said before you got here, in my opinion, every small business owner should have two banking relationships, not just one, but two. And at least one of them should be with an independent community banker.
Absolutely. One bank to cover your overdrafts and the other bank to lend you money.
Well, actually, you could do, well, covering the overdrafts, folks, you're going to want to talk to the independent community banker about that. you're going to find the best kind of products on that with the independent community bankers. But the independent community bankers are going to want to loan you money, too.
Hey,
Mike,
right.
We were talking about the subprime thing. And
right.
One of the reasons I wanted you to talk about that is only because that doesn't affect small business owners all that directly, but indirectly, if it causes the economy to slump, if the, you know, we've already had one company, at least one subprime lending company to be delisted from the stock market, and maybe, and I would suspect that one or two or three or whatever will probably take bankruptcy. I mean, they've got like $10 billion calls, and they don't have anywhere near that much money. So what are they going to do? So, but do you think that this is going to create any kind of a significant impact on the economy if these lenders, because it won't just be the lenders who are collapsing, it'll also be the defaulting of their customers and that sort of thing.
Well, we don't have enough time to give a holistic response. What I would suggest is as follows: that those small businesses that have a level of codependence on real estate in any way, shape, or form, they should understand as much as they can what happens with a real estate correction to their business and prepare to deal with that. Because if you think about it, we had a real estate correction in the 70s and the 80s
right.
and the 90s,
right.
and we're going through it now.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s because of the gas embargo, in the 80s because of the failure of the thrift industry,
right.
in the 90s because of the failure of the banking industry,
right.
in this decade because of an excessive mortgage-backed securities market
mm-hmm.
that's coming apart. In part because of subprime. So if you're real estate dependent in terms of service or sale of products, study your codependence on that industry and figure out how you can mitigate risk. I think that's the first issue. The second issue is that anytime you remove liquidity from a segment of the economy, you influence that segment. And there's no question that some level of liquidity will be withdrawn from lending, mortgage lending. And that's in part because of fear, and it's in part because of the re-regulation of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
So you think that as somewhat of a reaction to the imminent failures of the subprime sector of the mortgage industry, that could wash over into the standard mortgage industry?
It has to, and the reason it does is because the housing market is a food chain market, mm-hmm. and the $1 million owner can't sell their house unless the $700,000 owner can sell their house, which is dependent upon the $500,000 owner, which is dependent upon the $250,000 owner, which is dependent upon the $100,000 owner. It's a food chain world, I believe. Now that isn't a universal statement, because there's some markets, like the beautiful market we live in, that's very much retirement driven, and retirees aren't dependent necessarily upon the mortgage loan. Mm-hmm. They are more dependent upon their financial assets in the stock market and their confidence and that sort of thing. And they'll move into markets like ours because they want to spend it in a beautiful place, and there's less sand in the top of the glass than the bottom of the glass. So all markets won't be influenced universally, but
if you tried to get a mortgage on a piece of property a year ago and you said, "Wow, that was easy," be prepared for it not to be so easy this year. The next transaction you do.
The answer is yes. If you are a subprime borrower, it won't be as easy. And if you are a typical borrower with typical loan ratios and typical down payments,
20% down
appraisal,
and that kind of thing, you got your cornflakes together.
You've got no problem.
Okay, and, that's good news. Because all my listeners are like that. None of my listeners are subprime.
There you go.
They're all above. They're all way above prime.
And so
we don't have to worry about that. Mike,
those listeners who decided to use real estate as an alternative investment to stocks and bonds need to do some pretty heavy thinking.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be inventory coming to this market this year. Because of speculation and subprime borrowing to invest in real estate on a speculative basis.
But isn't that the time to buy?
It's a great time to buy. It's a very difficult time to unload real estate.
Right.
And, usually your first loss is your best loss. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of markets that are advertising properties for rent because their expectations of value far exceed the real market value.
So you're saying it's going to be a buyer's market, and if you're selling, your first offer might be your best offer, and if you're buying, negotiate hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it.
And so if you've gotten yourself into a good financial and liquid position, if you're reasonably, not too over leveraged, and you see some opportunities out there, folks, you might want to be prepared for those and go talk to your banker and tell him or her what you're doing. Tell him what your strategy is.
And return to the simple lesson that a house is first a home and second an investment.
Right.
And that's the reality of investing in homes.
Exactly. Stand by, Mike. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend Mike Menzies, the president of Eastern Bank and Trust. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some small business banking right after these messages. Stay with us.
And you had enough. You still got to try.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Well, sort of.
Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99.
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. Small business owners, if you dream of doing big things with your company, call Administaff. They champion the needs of America's best small and medium-sized business owners, including me, helping them turn their dreams into real-life success.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Russell Lamb, an owner of Allegro Realty Advisors here in Ohio. Administaff is definitely a powerful advocate for small business owners. They handle my employment-related paperwork, provide my employees with big company benefits, and reduce the liabilities I face as an employer. And since putting their plans to improve productivity to the test, I've seen both employee morale and my company's bottom line reach new heights.
To become a business legend like Russell, call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputations in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit IBM.com/business center/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Sunshine came softly through my window today.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Mike Menzies is our guest. He's president of Easton Bank and Trust. Mike, give us that website, please.
There you go. It's EastonBankAndTrust.com. A&D is spelled out.
It's a beautiful website, folks. It's not your grandfather's independent community bank website, by the way.
Yeah, I know it. I just wish somebody had a computer on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
Mike, couple of quick things. Quickly, your ideas on what the Fed's going to do this week with interest rates. They're meeting today and tomorrow.
My guess is, and it's nothing more than that, that while we have inflation pressures and while we've been hearing rumblings about the Fed needing to tighten again, my guess is they'll still wait a little bit because I think the economy might be a little bit tender with the subprime issues and the mortgage issues and the Iraq issues and that sort of thing. But it's only a guess. I think that Father Bernanke has much more data than any of us. And
yep.
And I think his judgment is 50% qualitative or subjective and 50% quantitative. And his quantitative knowledge is probably beyond what you and I could comprehend.
Doesn't he need Mr. Greenspan to take up golf or something?
Absolutely. With all due respect to the greatest senior banker in the
yeah.
history of the nation,
he needs to shut up,
Father Greenspan needs to take his bride on a trip.
Yeah.
Because
I was surprised at the comments he's been making, aren't you?
Yeah. I let me tell you, there's no one in business or banking that I have greater respect for. He is.
Yep, I agree.
He did more for our economy and for our country than any
mistakes.
Other business
he
person.
He did make mistakes. I think.
Yeah.
I think there's no question. Some mistakes
right.
were made, but in general, to he steered us clear of a lot of bad stuff over the long time. But he
yeah.
needs to ride off into the sunset.
Well, unfortunately, he's kind of become the roadside bomb of the economy, and I think he has every right to go out and speak, but I think he needs to remember that that the markets will look at every syllable of every word that he speaks.
Right. Yeah. It undermines Mr. Bernanke, and I didn't like mm-hmm. My antenna went up immediately when I heard him say some of the things he did, and to see the markets react to that. Mike, in the time we have left, what should small business owners be doing? What should they be saying to their bankers right now about the rest of the year?
Well, I guess my advice would be go sit down with your banker and talk about the meaning of an inverted yield curve. What does that mean to me as a small business regarding my borrowing strategies, and what can I do to manage interest rate risk at
explain,
a time like this?
Explain the inverted yield curve, please.
Inverted yield curve is a description of the time value of money and it shows graphically the time value of money, and the graph is sloped downward with the left-hand part of the graph higher than the right-hand part of the graph, and it says that short-term interest rates right now are higher than medium and long-term interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And that is totally abnormal, and it's
right.
been abnormal
but,
for a
period of time.
But does
that create opportunity or peril?
Both. It creates opportunity. The main opportunity is for one who is debt-dependent as a small business to understand the influence of that curve on their borrowing over the next 5 to 10 years.
What is the influence?
And, banks can help mitigate that risk if borrowers will go in and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Prime is at 8.25%. Medium-term borrowers can negotiate loans in the 7.5 to 7.75 range for 2, 3, 5 years. They need to understand what happens if rates fall, and they've negotiated a 7.5 or 7.25 or 8% loan, and that takes dialogue and interaction with your banker. And bankers mostly want their customers to be successful and make money, because that's what makes banks money.
No small business customer is going to walk in and say, let's discuss the inverted yield curve, Mr. Banker.
Well,
it's going to sound differently.
Let's talk about interest rates and short-term interest rates and long-term interest rates and my loans. And I think just understanding the time value of money as a small business relative to interest rates in an environment like this is important. There's one thing about rates that we're certain, and that is we don't know where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding the impact of a change on a small business is an important part of a business strategy.
So what could you ask your banker? You know, let's talk about where I am with all my instruments with you, all my interest rates. Am I in a good position right now?
That is a very appropriate question.
Yeah,
and
ask them that, folks, and get them to help you. Mike, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. I hope you come back again real soon.
My pleasure, Jim.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen, the president of Eastern Bank and Trust over in Eastern Maryland. That's EasternBankandTrust.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.